And now it's time for letters from listeners. It's the P1's opportunity to ask the musers. Right here on Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket.
Thank you to all the P1s for all the great feedback over the last week or so on items we've talked about. This is from P1 Miles. A couple of these this week really made me giggle, including this one from Miles. He says, Junior, I'm reaching out to you as one panhandle kid to another and want you to know how proud the people of the panhandle are of you.
You live there for 3 weeks.
No idea who you are. He says you lived there for 6 months.
You are a true inspiration to the children, as you have proven that with hard work, anyone can make it out of the panhandle.
Oh, vomit
and go on to be a pretty big contributor on an early morning radio show.
You are. That's what we ought to start listing you as on this show. A pretty big contributor.
Pretty big contributor.
George and I are host. You're a pretty big contributor.
So all of my hard work from age birth to 6 months did get me out of the panhandle when my parents then moved to Dallas. He says, last week I heard you guys talking about people staying in their hometown. My wife and I have recently moved back to our hometown of Groover, Texas, about 90 miles north of Amarillo.
Hello, everybody!
We both went to undergrad at West Texas A&M in Canyon. From there, we went to Fort Worth. After that, we moved to Bryan. My wife was going through residency. We loved each stop along the way, but the plan was always to move back home. The bottom line being that we wanted our kids to grow up around their family. My kids have 11 cousins, 4 sets of aunts and uncles, 2 sets of grandparents, 3 sets of great-grandparents, all living in our small town. Last week, our oldest son and one of his cousins had a sleepover at their great-grandmother's house. I farm with 3 of my brothers-in-law. And he says, we loved living in big cities, but for us, nothing compares to family.
There you go. Boy, that's a lot of family in one small town.
They basically run that town.
Yeah.
He also says, I wanted to comment on one of your irrational fears. In college, one of my really good friends passed away after falling down an elevator shaft. You know, I fear the elevator. Mm-hmm. Chopping me in half, basically. But
a friend of our family died that way, too.
Really?
Terrible, yeah. Friend of my grandparents.
He says he worked for a roofing company and had been working on an old building because the building was so old it didn't have working elevator doors on every floor, so the doors could be open even if the elevator wasn't on that floor.
Right.
One early morning, he showed up before any lights had been turned on in the building, stepped into the open elevator shaft thinking that the elevator was there. Anyway, Merry Christmas.
Oh my gosh.
What a horrible way to go.
No.
Because it's particularly if you show up in the morning, you're all bleary-eyed and you're just going through the motions, the elevator door opens, you just assume the elevator's there, just take one step and straight down.
Yeah,
that story of our family friend always haunted me as a kid.
What was that story?
Basically the same one.
Exact same one. This sounds like
pretty
an urban
close.
Legend, then.
And this was a roofing company, and your dad had a roofing company?
No, it was a friend of my grandparents who ran a hotel. It was a hotel, also.
Wow. Mm. This is from P1 Brandon. We did that segment last week on awkward public appearances, and I told the story of when I blacked out introducing Dr. Kenneth Cooper at a charity function.
Mm-hmm. And you came, too, and you were in a bathtub full of ice.
And my organs had been harvested and sold on the black market.
And the wall was signed by Kenneth Cooper.
In blood.
A weird turn.
P1 Brandon says, Junior, loved listening to your segment about forgetting the name of the guy you were introducing. It reminded me of my wedding. My wife and I took some dance lessons prior to the wedding so that we could do something special for our first dance. I'm not the world's best dancer by any means, but I'm not terrible. I would have been totally fine with a regular dance, like the good old Texas two-step, but of course I'm trying to make it the day of her dreams. I felt like we had it down when we left the studio for the last time, but factor in a trip down to Mexico as well as an all-inclusive resort, and suddenly my muscle memory isn't quite what it needed to be. The moment of truth comes, we begin our dance. I confidently lead by taking a step forward, and my wife just says, nope. Immediately, I'm in full panic mode. I imagine this is how Killer feels when he starts confidently into a segment or story, makes one mistake, and you can feel all his skittishness erupt into the microphone as the train derails.
Oh, yes. Come on, Killer.
Anyway, Now I don't know what's real anymore. I lost all confidence and all sense of what my next move was supposed to be. It's not a song where I can just fake my way through it. I basically ended up shuffling her slowly and stiffly around the dance floor and trying to run out the clock.
Went into the stall.
We thought it would be the moment we'd cherish forever. Instead, I slowly shuffled off the dance floor with my tail between my legs to sparse applause, mostly from my mom and her sisters.
Oh, gosh, it's so cringy.
My father-in-law was standing there with his arms folded across his chest with no expression. He then executed a perfect dance with her, and I feel almost 7 years later that he is just now starting to trust that I can take care of his daughter.
Well, I bet she was ticked, too. All that work they put in, and he just tanks.
What a funny story. All right, from P1 Jameson. He said, I recently went back and listened to your segment from July of last year about bears and wildlife. And when you get into a dangerous situation, I grew up in Colorado, just outside of Breckenridge. We always carried bear spray and a bear horn, an air horn, but it was somewhat risky because you could make them more agitated. The thing we always carried and twice used successfully were large firecrackers and a lighter. The two times we had to use them was one for a small black bear and two a young mountain lion. We lit a few firecrackers, threw it near them, and the bang always sent them running back to the hills. He says, if an animal was able to create a loud bang near me without warning, I would run as well, ha.
Okay. Interesting.
So carry fireworks.
Isn't that interesting?
But when the bear's running after you,
you're trying to light
running, and you're sitting there, and you don't have a windproof lighter, you got the 99-cent Bic that you're trying to shake hand.
Yeah.
Boy, you'd have a failed smile, wouldn't you?
Yeah, something tells me that you could have the result of human remains, and then there's singe marks on the bear's head because some knucklehead was trying to come up with a lighter or a firecracker.
All right, now to some feedback on sports topics we've talked about from P1 Quinn. We were discussing perfect games, no hitters, Gordo being at Kenny Rogers' perfect game.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I used to live in New Jersey, an hour from New York by train, 2 hours to Yankee Stadium. A buddy asked me one day if I wanted to go to a Yankees game that Saturday. I had a busy week and wanted to rest on Saturday, so I turned down the free ticket by saying the train ride was a beating. The date? July 18th, 1999. If you look up that game, you'll find out it was David Cone's perfect game.
Oh, man.
I missed it. Huge regret. P1 Justin. Here's a sports nugget for you that might interest you. Kim Mulkey is leaving Baylor for LSU, but did you know that Coach Mulkey is staying in Waco and keeping her 6 national championships with the Bears? Baylor's head coach of acrobatics and tumbling is Felicia Mulkey, and just a few days ago she led Baylor to their 6th straight A&T national title during her time in Waco. No word yet if LSU is called.
Huh.
Did you know they had another Mulkey down there?
I did not know that.
They are not related, by the way.
Oh.
P1 Tom sends this amazing NFL draft stat. Of the 34 quarterbacks drafted in the first round since 2010, only 3 have a Super Bowl ring. Mahomes, Wentz, and Blaine Gabbert. Wentz, of course, was injured while Foles led them, but Wentz has a ring, and Blaine Gabbert has a ring. So all these teams in the last 10 years that have taken a quarterback in the first round thinking that guy's going to lead them to the promised land, really only one has done that.
Wow, that is a great one.
That's why you should never take a quarterback in the first round.
Guess you could make that conclusion. Unless you're Kansas City, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And then this from P1 Brad. We were talking about pros versus spares last week. We did that segment of amateurs who think that they can hang with pros and then they get their asses handed to them. He says, when I was a college freshman at Abilene in the early 90s, I was at the park confidently sparing everyone to death with my semi-consistent mid-range jumper when a 6'8 specimen of a man walks up. The game came to a complete halt. And without a word being said, one of our players just walked off the court and gave up his spot on the court to this guy who was clearly the king of the park. For the next half hour, We just passed the ball in the general vicinity of the rim, and this man among boys dunked in ways I had only seen in the NBA. After the game, they said, that's Andre Patterson. He's the next Michael Jordan. I was shocked to find out he was still in high school.
Whoa.
We went to one of his games, and he was incredibly dominant on both ends of the court, and Bob Knight was in attendance. He went on to Indiana, was a great four-year player, and we figured it was only a matter of time until he took over the NBA. Mm-hmm. The Timberwolves drafted him, so I made a point of going to see him play against the Spurs. I watched him sit on the bench for 47 minutes, and the only time he got into the game was to foul someone before he promptly was sent right back to the bench. Over his two-year career in the NBA, he averaged 3 points per game. Most of the time, he was just in street clothes as a healthy scratch. It really put into perspective just how good you have to be successful in the NBA. If he was just a spare in the NBA, how spare was I?
Yeah, just confirmed his spareness.
Boy, that's great perspective.
That's funny.
All right, thank you for those letters from listeners.
Yay!